to Strength for the Journey. Thanks for joining us again. Strength for the Journey is a radio program designed to strengthen the believer for the days that lie ahead. We have a website. It's strength with the number 4, thejourney.com. That's strength with the number 4, thejourney.com. This is radio program number 45 if you're listening by shortwave radio. And we have a website that has a number of articles. There's a link called S4TJ Radio in which these radio broadcasts are recorded and uploaded on that link. And there's a description of each of the radio programs, so you'll get an idea of each of the previous radio programs, what they've been about. And I think you'll be encouraged if you even go back and listen and re-listen to some of the programs that have been done in the past. There's also a link called Today's Rhema, and I have posted a number of words that the Lord has spoken to me here over the last several months, and they're really very interesting words of where the Lord has been taking me lately with what is happening in the world and in my life. And I know they're not very easy words to hear. They're not easy words to receive either, but I know that the Lord wants us to hunger for whatever the truth may be that He wants to speak to us. I want to share a little bit about what's happening right now here in Panama. We just got two big pallets of chick tracks just came in. I have to go pick them up or they're going to be delivered here next week. And I'm really excited because there's 113,000 tracks in Spanish and in English. And we have a number of churches already geared up to pass them out to their people to go out on the streets and evangelize and go out and reach the lost. I'm really excited because this is a big job to go out and reach the lost. And the Lord is calling laborers to His vineyard right now. He's looking for laborers to go out in the harvest field and go into the highways and byways and compel them to come. And I believe that this is a passion that can only come from God's love inside of us. And the Lord is looking for people who have a heart for Him and a heart for the lost. I would encourage you, even if you have a passion for the lost, these tracts that we order are from a company called Chick Publications. They're out of California, and I believe the website is chick.com, but you can order the website right through the website. You can order the tracts. And I've passed these tracks out for many years, and they're very effective because they have stories with pictures. They reach different types of people. There's many stories that, or tracks that many people would never want to read just because to them they're not interested in them. But one thing I found about these tracks that people actually will read them. And so I encourage you to, if you have a heart for souls and you'd like to go out and witness on the streets or just pass them out to your friends or neighbors or relatives, they're very effective. So we have that, and we're actually going to try to put another order in pretty soon because I believe that these are going to go pretty quickly. We've already passed out around 37,000 in the last few months, and we have a lot of help that's going to come to try to get the word out and get these tracks out. So we're going to try to put another order in for another 200,000 to go not only over Panama, but also Central America and even into South America with them. And if you feel so inclined to want to help to raise the funds for that, there's a link on the website through PayPal, and all the funds go directly for the purpose of reaching the lost. Also, we have Janet and Ray Clark with Third Day Power that will be here on the 18th of this month, and they're going to be here for a whole month. And we have many different crusades and events that are scheduled throughout the country, and they'll be here from the 18th through the 18th of November through the 18th of December. And any funds also will go directly to help fund the crusade as well. So tonight what I want to do is I want to speak a little bit about a recent word that I got here on election day here yesterday morning. And what I'm concerned about is that many people right now, they think that an election is going to fix the problems of America, that a new person in power is going to make the difference. But I really believe it goes beyond that, that there's a spiritual problem in America right now, and it only can be solved by a spiritual solution. But I woke up yesterday morning, and this is the word that I got. This is dated on November 4th. Will you not warn my people of the judgment that will surely come? Today is election day. It is a day of decisions, a day when choices are made. I have been waiting for my people to make a choice for me, but few are declaring the choice that must be made. The choice that must be made is to repent. My true and truthful prophets have always declared the truth to warn my people, to turn from their wicked ways, to declare that my righteousness and holiness must be revered, that I require righteousness and holiness from my people, that I will forgive them of their sins and iniquity if they will humble themselves and repent and turn back to me with their whole heart. I have given many a voice to declare the truth. Who do you fear the most, man or me? And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that can kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you of whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he has killed has the power to cast into hell. Yes, I say unto you, fear him. That's Luke 12, 4 and 5. If you are determined to encourage my people, encourage them to trust that every word that proceeds from my mouth is true, and I will surely perform every word. If my first disciples were not immune from my judgment, no disciple or follower of mine will be. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord, no man. Humble yourself before me this day, and I will give you eye salve, that you might see. Exchange what is precious to you for what is precious to me. Time is short. It is a decision day. Who will you stand before to give account of your life, man or me? Will you fear? Who do you fear the most? If you truly desire to be an encouragement, your decision to make the right choice will encourage others to make the right choice. Time is short. It's D-Day, a day of decisions. What will it be? Pride or humility? Your righteousness or mine? Your justification or mine? It's D-Day. Do you want to exhort my people? Exhort them to repent. Exhort them to return to their first love. For the love of many has grown cold toward me. Their love for this world has replaced their love for me. Their love for the praise of man has replaced their love for my praise. Tell them to turn back to me with their whole heart, or suffer with the ungodly and worldly. The blood of the innocent cries to the heavens for justice, and justice will be served if my people refuse to repent. Justice will be served by sword, by pestilence, by famine, and by war. No man will escape. I am a holy and righteous God. I change not. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. If my people will not raise a righteous standard, I will. It's D-Day. You have been given a choice. You have been given a voice to my people. Use that voice to tell my people to repent and turn back to me with their whole heart, and I will forgive them of their sin and their reproach. Today is the day. Today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. There has always been a day of decision. There was a D-Day, the day that I shut the door to the Ark of Noah and sealed the fate of those on the outside as well as those on the inside. It might not have begun to rain immediately, but the decision was made. I wrote this word about probably 5:30 in the morning, yesterday morning, and I probably finished maybe around 6:30. And I just thought, well, I'm going to lay down for just a little bit and just get some more sleep. And somehow I knew that I was going to have a dream. And when I went to sleep, I did have a dream. And the dream was very interesting, what I dreamed. I'll read it here, what I wrote here. I dreamed, and what I remember was I was on the inside of a building that looked like a school building. I was on the upper floor warning people, though I never saw anyone. I knew it was time to leave the building and was heading to where I knew the stairs were located. As I was making my way for the stairs, I passed by a door with a narrow vertical window. On the other side of the window was a man with a very stern and serious look on his face, and never acknowledged me as I went by, but looked straight ahead. He was holding a small hammer in his hand, poised to use it to break the glass. The window reminded me of a glass window on an enclosed fire extinguisher. I knew as soon as he broke the glass, an alarm was going to go off. I rushed to get down the stairs, but when I arrived at the location of the stairs were gone, and the hallway just led to a dead end. Then I woke up. After I awoke, I felt very strongly that the man with a hammer in his hand wasn't a man, but an angel. When he breaks the glass, an alarm will go off, because the fire has already begun and there's no way of escape. This is the dream that I had, and I gave it a lot of thought. And I know many people right now are that they feel like maybe things just aren't right, or maybe they feel like we've got a new lease on life with a new election that just came up. But has there really been any repentance in the nation? What is God's decision that's being made for the nation? Do you think that just because an election was held that God changed his decision? That his people have not repented, have not turned back to him, have not turned from their wicked ways? I want to just maybe throw a warning out that I don't think it's time to drop the guard that everything is just fine in America now that there's been an election and the Republicans have taken charge of the Senate and the House now. Because something else is going on deeper than a political problem in the United States. There's a spiritual problem that's going on, and only a spiritual solution will remedy the problem. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people will humble themselves, repent, and turn from their wicked ways," it says that at that point, then I will hear from heaven and heal the land. And that is really the only formula that God has ever given mankind to have a turning of God's decision for a wickedness and for ungodliness and immorality. Otherwise, if his people do not repent, then God has to go through with a decision because he's a holy and righteous God. You know, I thought about one time that if God doesn't judge America for its sin and immorality, that he would literally have to really apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Like maybe he had a bad day that day and was just in a bad mood. But the truth is that there comes a point in time when the cries of the innocent, when something happens that changes the dynamic of a nation, that it's gone to the tipping point, that when God looked down at the time of Noah and he said that they only did wicked and evil in his sight, there came a point in time when something had to be done. And that was the same way in Sodom. There was something that had to be done, and he had to make a decision. And really, judgment is, it can be good or it can be bad. You could be in a court case with a decision of whether or not you're going to inherit or receive $1 million in an inheritance, and the judge makes a judgment that you will receive that reward. Well, it can be either good or bad. So it's just really a decision. And to say that God can't make a judgment or cannot judge today is really saying that he cannot make a decision any longer. And I assure you, he can make a decision any way he chooses. He turned from the destruction of Nineveh when the king and the people repented in sackcloth and ashes. He turned, he said to Jonah, "Tell them that in 40 days Nineveh will be overthrown." And because the people repented and truly repented, God turned the judgment. And I believe that's the only thing that's going to turn a judgment, that a decision that he's going to make on any nation. So I'm not really real sure whether or not the decision that man made will change God's decision. And I believe that repentance is the only thing that's going to change his decision. But I know individual repentance will turn our judgment that would be falling on us, that God will turn just like he did in Ezekiel, that it said that those who sighed and cried at all the abominations in the midst thereof, that God put a mark on them for protection. And I believe that this is the protection that we have to look for now, that if God doesn't turn the judgment toward America, we need to make sure that we've turned it away from us, that we have repented, that we have turned away from our wicked ways, that we have repented in our own life and received the mark. Even in Ezekiel, it says the day has come, says that an end has come, that across the four corners of the land, God made a decision for Israel at a certain point in time, and only those that had the mark were protected. And so I would encourage you that if there's things that you know that God does not like and that God would not approve of, that to repent before Him, because He's a holy and righteous God, and only turning from our wicked ways will we receive forgiveness and receive the umbrella of protection that we need during this time. I have a song here I want to play. It's a song, and it's regarding the souls of man. And I want to play it here. It's called The Lost Are Found by Hillsong.
Everlasting, while earthly ages fade, in mercy, our God, your kingdom reigns. Lord, over everything, you are near. All of the
the found can find the lost. I wrote a word here back on June 12th. It's on the today's Rhema link. And it was, how can the lost save the lost? Only the found can find the lost. Only those with my love have a heart to find the lost. It's my love that compels them. It's my love that motivates and inspires. When you are found, you are compelled to find. I live within my believers. They live to fulfill my desires. The devil lives within his believers, living to fulfill his desires. Whose desires are you fulfilling? You may think your desires originate from yourself, but you are only a vessel to fulfill the desire and purpose of one of two kingdoms. You are the servant to whom you obey. Whose desires are you the servant of? If you desire to be my servant, take delight in me, and I will give you my desires. I will give you my heart and passion, but you must seek me with all of your heart. If you will seek me with all of your heart, I will be found, and you as well. And I think that right now, this is where we all need to be right now. We need to seek the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. You know, there's so many distractions going on right now. The world is just filled with entertainment. There's just so much going on. It's hard, really, for the Lord even to speak to us. I can look back and I can think about living in the United States, and there's just nonstop things going on. It's like the squirrel wheel never ends. You're just constantly running, work, work, play, play. It's just every day is the same, it seems like. And everything changed when we decided to leave, sell everything, and go at the Lord's bidding to come to a foreign land. And I put myself in a place of desperation for Him. And everything changed. And I look back now, and I really wasn't being fruitful for the Lord. I didn't really was doing more my will than I know His. And I think I had to just get emptied of myself to actually begin to find His will. Because as long as we're filled with our own desires, fulfilling our own dreams and passions, there really isn't room for His. We may think there is. We may think that just because we go to church, or maybe we read our Bible periodically, or we can quote some scriptures, that we're doing pretty good. But I have come to find out that the narrow road, the one that leads to life, is narrower than most of us think. It's certainly narrower than I thought. And it requires a lot out of us. And the main thing it requires out of us is obedience. Because we're not ever going to make a good servant if we're disobedient. This is really where the rubber meets the road in our life, is that God is calling us to obedience, that He wants us to obey Him, because how are we going to be His servant and do His bidding if we're still doing whatever we want to do? You know, I really came to a place where I really understand now what it really means to be born again. Many people think that if they just say a prayer that they're born again and they're saved, but I have really come to realize that there has to be a death first. There has to be a death that initiates a new life, just like a butterfly. That a butterfly is nothing more than a born-again caterpillar that needed to die first and go into a cocoon. And that's where the metamorphosis takes place, and that's where it becomes free. And God's trying to make us free right now. He's trying to liberate us. There's an article you might want to read. It's called Only the Winged Will Fly from Judgment. It's written under the Articles tab. But I believe that this is the liberty now that we have to experience. We need to fall at His feet. We need to let Him transform us. Because there's only one of the 10 that actually got changed. The 10 lepers that were healed, there's only one of the lepers that came back to Him. And it says that that one leper that came back and fell at His feet was the one that was made whole. All the other ones were healed, but only one was made whole. We need to be whole right now. We need to have a sound mind, because we're going to have every wit about us, we're going to need to hear from the Lord. And we need to know now what His voice sounds like. He's speaking to us, but a lot of what He says isn't always easy to hear. And we have to say, Lord, I don't care whatever You say to me. I want to hear Your voice right now. I need instructions. I need Your wisdom. I need Your guidance. I need the Holy Spirit to lead and direct me right now. Because all of us, we need to have a step-by-step instructions. You know, the lamp that it says that Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. That lamp was a little small lamp that was handheld, and it was only enough light to see about one or two steps ahead of you. And His instructions are like that. He only gives us about one or two steps with each word that He gives us. And His word will guide and direct us. And I believe that a dark time is coming, that without His light, that we're going to stumble in the dark. We need to have His inspiration. We need to have His light to shine right now. And that's going to come from knowing His voice. And I encourage you in the mornings that if you feel like He might be speaking to you, get a journal and write down the words that just come to your mind and just put them down on paper. And I think you'll be amazed that the Lord does want to speak to you. And I find that He likes to meet us in the cool of the day. So thank you again for joining us on Strength for the Journey. Again, Strength for the Journey's website is strength4thejourney.com. And we'll see you next time. Must I call your name?